Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's Larry's Rant, Raves, and Reviews. And now, here is Larry.
Hey, everybody. Woo, lively crowd tonight.
They're loud tonight. We got a bunch of them here.
I don't know about you, but I'm having a ball doing this. What about you?
Yeah, it's good. It's different and it's new.
You know.
And I haven't done any kind of recording like this in a long time. So brings back old memories.
Just two old farts, just having fun. That's all we're doing. So, hey, everybody, we're happy to be back. And Randy, we're starting to get some momentum already.
Well, that's good. We're getting some emails or response, correspondence.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I've got a couple I want to share with you. Before we get into those, I want to ask people to help us out because we are getting some traction, okay? And we're watching our viewerships on YouTube and on some of the podcasts, and we're getting back some of the analytics and things, and we're trying to make this a program and a show that you're going to like. But here's what we'd like for you to do. Help us out, like our pages, like all of the stuff, put us in your library, subscribe, do all of that, but then do one more thing, and that is share us with your family and friends. Because if they get an email, a text message that says, hey, go listen to this show, I think you'll like what you're going to hear, they're going to go and at least give us an opportunity to come their way.
Yeah, that'd help.
You know, one thing I've noticed is a lot of people are not turned on to podcast yet.
Right.
They're like, well, God, I want to hear what you have to say, but how do I do it? I've actually taken people's cell phones and opened up their library in Apple or Spotify, something, you know, to where they'll remember it and put us in their library. And I said, now every Wednesday morning, you'll get, you know, a notification that says, hey, Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews, put up another episode. Or I've gone on to YouTube and subscribed for people there. So, hey, some of the people that really aren't into podcast or watching YouTube, be sure and help them out, okay? And
look,
help
just
our
something
viewership.
New. It's another form of communication. People are used to just seeing it. You know, having a set time.
Oh, yeah.
And then if they don't have that time, they miss it. They say, well, I guess I can't see it.
Right.
Remember, it's there now.
Right.
It's there.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Do it.
And, you know, now I just made my grandson, James, very happy because he always reminds me to do that. And so I camped out a little bit. Now I'm going to show you all.
You're not.
Yeah.
Are you really?
I have to show him these. Oh, okay. No. Those of you that are just listening to podcast, you can't see this, but I'm holding in my hand a largemouth bass flip-flop. Okay. And my grandson, James, bought those for me for my birthday.
Is that the review for this week?
That is the review. One of the most uncomfortable shoes I've ever had on my feet. But I told my daughter, I said, I will wear those proudly, and I will wear them on a podcast.
Well, couldn't you wear them to the beach? Would that be good on the beach?
I think I can.
I mean, they're waterproof, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're waterproof.
Okay.
And I did mention that to her because I said, you know, when you go up and go on the beach, you leave your flip-flops there. I said, I'll be able to spot mine. No one will have a pair of those.
Nobody's. Never mind. Good, Larry, good.
Hey, all I can say to you, buddy, is you've got a grandson.
Yeah, I know.
You're
time,
just a
my time's
few
coming.
Years away from it. So, you know what? Our first episode was entitled, America has Been Silenced. You know, the conservative voice has been silenced.
Right.
Randy, I think we hit the nail on the head because I got to tell you, I'm getting some emails and some feedback already. I've got some friends that have said, hey, Larry, I'm going to give you a few ideas, but don't put my name with it. I don't want to be on. I don't want to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I invited one guy to come out and be a guest on here. I said, man, we'll do a wonderful show with you. I can just tell you, no, my wife would kill me.
Yeah.
That was his first response. And number two, you know, he looked at me and he said, I have a couple of major customers that are extremely liberal that if I went on there and shared a conservative view, they would probably quit doing business with me.
I understand. I've heard the same type of stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard the same type of thing.
So, you know, I mean, I've even got people that have told me, hey, don't share my name. Don't say, you know, refer to me, by name or position or anything, family or friend, because, hey, I work with a bunch of flaming liberals and I don't want to have to fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it sad and isn't it funny how a lot of America's conservative voice has been squelched by the simple fact that they don't want to ruffle any feathers?
Right.
You know?
Well.
So anyway, I think we hit the nail on the head. One guy told us that he told us to be careful, because if you dive too deeply and you peel the layer of onion back too much, mm-hmm. you can get in some real trouble.
I heard that too.
Now, this guy has said that he's had to go to Washington and I guess stand before like a congressional hearing and testify. And when he got back to his state, he got a phone call that said, "Hey, we know who you are." They named his family by name and they said, "You live at such and such address. We're obviously calling you on your cell phone. We've got everything we need on you. You need to be careful."
They probably shut him up.
I'm thinking they might have. And, you know, and I got a couple examples here. People think, "Oh, Larry, come on now. Now, you know." And I told everybody, first episode, I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, throw one out there, I'll buy in. Mm-hmm. I haven't met one that I haven't liked yet. But here's something that I'll read to you. There's a plot in this country to enslave every man, woman, and child. Before I leave this high and noble office, I intend to expose this plot.
Interesting.
That was a quote by JFK.
Wow.
And he happened to make that quote 7 days before he was assassinated.
Wow.
That's kind of scary. Okay. Here's one. JFK Jr. was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Just days later, his plane crashed, making Hillary Clinton the newly elected senator.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that last week, that article.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, well, you know, it is
scary.
It is what it is.
It is.
So, you know, I mean, hey, we are getting some emails. Here's one from the Kansas City area. It says, "Wow, Rush is back." Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, but we're having fun and doing our thing, okay? Here's another one from North Little Rock. It says, "Just an idea, sing a song on your podcast, Larry." Well, apparently this lady from North Little Rock, and I know who she is, she went to church with me.
Right.
And not everybody knows that I used to be a professional singer and that I used to sing a lot in church and everything. That was a request. In fact, she even named the song she wanted me to sing.
So are you going to be singing a song for us?
No, but I do have a second request. This guy's name is Don. Hey, Don. Good to hear from you from Atlanta, Georgia. Now, Don used to be my national sales manager for a large company that I used to represent.
Okay.
And he said, "I think you need to start off your next podcast with Stand By Your Man."
There you go.
Now, that's an old Tammy Wynette song. Mm-hmm. But what he's referring to, folks, is at a national sales meeting, we were having some fun, and he had karaoke one night.
Mm-hmm.
And they fired up karaoke. So I went up there. I grabbed the microphone. I told the DJ, I said, "Hit the Tammy Wynette song." And Randy, I sang
it.
I sang it. Tammy Wynette has a pretty high voice, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I've been a tenor for years.
Oh, yeah.
And don't know that I could hit those notes now, but I reached up and I jumped on them and I nailed them. I sang that entire song. Even made my two sales representatives get behind me as my backup singers, okay?
So
we had a lot of good time. So, Don, I don't know that I'll be singing that for you, but Stand By Your Man, okay? Appreciate that. Here's one. I'll end with this. Mark from Mel says, "Hey, I'm unsure of what topics you're planning, but everyone needs to know about the flavor of the month at Baskin Robbins. It's called Beach Day, and it is amazing." Well, Mark, there you go. I let everybody know that's listening to this podcast all about it, okay?
So I guess if we send your emails in, you'll read them then.
Well, yeah, I will.
Is that all we got?
No, I got more.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I got more. I just didn't want to,
well,
you know,
that's good.
I didn't want to weigh it down, you know, this particular one. Hey, I wanted to give a shout out to change the subject, but let's give a shout out to our governor, okay?
Yes.
I think our governor's doing a great job. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see what we got here. How about that? Let's see what we get. There it goes.
There's
a shout out.
Okay. All right. Sarah Sanders, and a lot of us know her by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I think she's doing a great job. Now, I've got some friends that don't like her for various reasons, and that's okay. But on this particular reason, I think that everybody ought to like her, okay? Randy, it says, Sarah Sanders forces China to give up land that is owned in Arkansas.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I am thrilled to see her take this kind of a stand.
Right. Me too.
I think we need more American governors like this.
I think so.
Instead of these tampon Tims and you know, people that's just nuts and crazy, that's full of insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, we need some good, strong American governors out here that knows how to run their state and knows how to run business.
Yeah, I saw her do that a couple of months ago. I was really
glad
to hear she did that. Took a stand. I don't know of any other state that's done that. I know she probably was the first one.
Well, I think she was the first one, but I can tell you this. According to this report that I've got in my hand here, it says that Florida has since adopted a similar law. Texas, Louisiana, and Alabama are considering similar laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, everybody needs a leader. And do you realize that China owned 384,000 acres in the state of Arkansas?
Wow.
Now, the article that I read says that's less than 5%.
Well, still.
A lot of people say, well,
4 or 5%.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
5%.
I don't care
if it's 1%.
Right.
That's still too much.
That's too much.
Why does China own American soil?
Oh.
It's crazy
that
we've allowed this to happen. Do you realize that in the U.S., in 2021, China owned 40 million acres. Now, that's 3.1% of our farmland here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we allow this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Well, they slowly just started to get all this, and now that's what they've accumulated.
Well, and the reason, folks, if you're listening to this, you're not familiar with it. We are, because we've heard about it for, like Randy said, the last couple of months here in Arkansas. But there was a seed manufacturer here in Arkansas that has to test seeds to grow different crops and things. They have to test them in American soil.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make them overseas, okay, and test them in their soil. They have to be tested here.
Mm.
And so, therefore, they have to have the land. Well, they don't have to own it. They can lease it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of U.S. farmers that lease their land from different landowners. And so, anyway, I'm very proud of her. Governor Sanders, we think you're doing a wonderful job. We want to give you a shout out.
Right.
And, hey, we'd welcome you on our podcast at any time, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Come on in, Governor.
Yeah.
And eat some fried chicken at Bobby's Country Cooking and
we'll
come out here and we'll put you on the air, all right?
Okay.
So we like you. So continue to do a good job there. I think she's cutting taxes and a few other things that we like. Now, so there was one of our first raves of the night, but hey, let's take a look at one of our rants, okay?
Okay.
Now, if this doesn't tick you off, I just don't know what would, okay? Let's go to the wonderful state of California.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Now, Randy, I got to tell you.
No,
thank you. I lived in California for a couple of years. I lived in San Jose and absolutely loved everything about it. You could run into Frisco. You could run across the mountain and go to Santa Cruz. You could go down by Pebble Beach, you know, to Monterey. Oh, it's gorgeous. I've often said when you get into that Monterey area, if you ever wonder what the Garden of Eden really looked like, I'm not for sure if the Garden of Eden wasn't Monterey, California.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, okay? And it's just so horrible that the California legislation and all of the representatives, the politicians, are destroying that state the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you this. California State Senate Committee approves a bill to allow illegal immigrants to buy homes with $0 down payment and 0% interest loans.
Yep, I heard that last week too.
Oh my gosh.
I wish we had that.
Yeah, don't you?
But it was for us. Yeah. I wish it was for us. We're legal.
Now, Assembly Bill 1840, folks, you can go and get on the internet. You can look it up. Fox News has a report on it. Different, I think AP, I saw a report on it. Different ones has reports out there. You can Google the heck out of it. It's called California Assembly Bill 1840, and it's called California Dream for All Program. Now, doesn't that sound all fluffy and wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay as long as they're an American citizen. I love dreaming for people. In fact, if you cast a vision at me about a dream that you have, a business you want to start, a home you want to build, your biggest problem with casting it to me is I will always try to make it bigger. I'll always try to dream a little bit bigger. It's just something in me that I have that. But I got to be honest with you. I don't care to be dreaming for people that's in this country that's illegal.
Right.
I just don't. It says AB 1840 has already passed in the Assembly and will go to a floor vote in the state Senate. Now, this is a report here that was published August the 23rd, and it says California moves towards zero down payment mortgages for illegal immigrants. It said that the California bill that would aid undocumented migrants on the path to home ownership has advanced into the state's legislature. Democrats on the California State Appropriations Committee last week unanimously approved AB 1840, a bill that would amend the California Dream for All Shared Appreciation Loan Program. Now, let me read this one paragraph here. Wow, this will blow you away. The program was launched in 2023 and gives first-time home buyers in the Golden State a loan of up to 20% of the home's purchase price to be used as a down payment.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's about what you have to have.
And you don't have to scrimp and save and... Right. You know, how many of you Californians, if you're listening to me out there, and I got lots of cousins, so you ought to be listening to me. If you're not, shame on you, okay? How many of you have had to scrimp and save and
borrow from your parents, whatever, yeah, everything,
in order to get that first down payment?
That's it.
And
I know
yet,
I did.
And yet we're legal. We're legal citizens, and we have to do it. Now, let me read this because I this is just something. The bill will effectively allow migrants, is what they call them here. Yeah. I'm sorry, but they're not migrants. No. They're illegals.
Right.
To buy homes without having to save for years to fund a down payment, which is almost always required. The legislation now only needs the approval of a Democrat supermajority state Senate and a signature from Governor Gavin Newsom. Well, you know he'll sign it.
Yep.
And all those liberals, they'll vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if there's anything else here. Oh, yeah, let me read this. Oh, this is so fluffy. It sounds so good. Once again, California has chosen to prioritize. Thank you very much. Illegal immigration and fiscal irresponsibility over the needs of its citizens, all while facing a $60 billion deficit that will ultimately be passed on to taxpayers. San Diego County Supervisor Jim Dedmanson told the Daily Caller, California is in dire financial straits, yet lawmakers continue to prioritize programs that incentivize illegal immigration and strain local resources. One individual says, when undocumented individuals are excluded from such programs, they miss out on a crucial method of securing financial security and personal stability for themselves and their families. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that sound like an adult participation trophy program?
Sure.
I mean, we've ruined a couple of generations of kids by giving them all participation trophies.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to cater to some of these people because they're used to getting their butts kissed and instead of kicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you and I grew up, there was winners, there was losers. Get over it.
Well, they all want those people to come there, and it's for the population. It's for they want the population.
Explain what you mean.
Well, it's not exactly the citizens. They want population because if they get more population, then they get to qualify for having another congressperson. And so, which gets them another the vote for the electoral college.
Vote.
Yeah, so you're adding more electoral votes. That's why all these cities, they want these people to come because they get to count the population. It's not the citizens; it's the population.
Okay. Well, once again, Randy's the brains of this place, and I'm the beauty. Okay. Well, here's something that I can tell you. According to the Pew Research Center, an estimated 1.8 million of Californians, more than 39 million residents, were undocumented immigrants as of 2020. The only question that I have is, will the insanity ever end? Will the insanity ever end?
I don't know. It might some way, but...
Now you know why I... When I was putting this program together, this particular show is called Random Acts of Communism and Insanity.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks. There's your insanity.
How about that?
All right, let's go to commercial break.
All right, we'll be right back.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Home-style cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
All right, well, we're back. Let's talk about the DNC. Did you watch any of it?
Well, I was on vacation, so I watched just a little bit of it.
Yeah.
When we got back in.
I tried not to, but, you know, sometimes it's kind of like a bad car accident. You want to look away, but, you know, you just can't. You rubberneck it and have to see it.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Well, apparently not, you know. So, you know, let's start out with a couple of, we're talking about the communism and the insanity, so why not just go home to the DNC? That's where it all sits right now. Here's one to talk about, and that is the Michelle Obama race and class baiting speech. I don't know if you heard any of that, but Big Mike was giving him some kind of a thing. Now I refer to that, folks, and you know, I will tell you, if you're offended by the Big Mike comment, well, I'll tell you what, if you'll have Michelle and Big Mike on the same stage at the same time, maybe that rumor would go away.
Probably would.
But it's lasted for how many years?
Yeah.
And the more it lasts, the more I'm believing, okay?
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it there. Well, it you know, Michelle Obama got up, talked about all the filthy rich, you know, and all of that, and how they're for the poor people, the little people. And that's the one thing that I don't quite understand, how all of these quote-unquote poor people are always suckered into the Democrats' garbage, because they're always saying, we're on your side. You know, we're for you. But yet they're filthy rich. Need I remind everyone that Michelle Obama is absolutely filthy rich? She lives in a $12 million home that is 97% white in Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she wants to bash Trump and talk about, you know, that he dislikes them because of his racial problems, which I don't see any. But she wants to bash him about that because she's just a poor little black lady that, you know, has done some good for America.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just putting it out there, Randy.
I know.
You know, just hang on for the ride, I guess. Push a button over there and get happy. The Obamas have a net worth of $70 million. They own 4 luxurious properties, a Washington, D.C. home bought for $8.1 million. The Martha Vineyard home, like I said, was for $12 million. Beachfront home in Hawaii bought for $8.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, they bought a home for $1.65 million. My question would be, is when is people going to get tired of these multimillionaire, billionaire people talking down to them as if they're so stupid? I don't think that any race, I don't think that any one person, any one gender, which by the way, there's only two, but I don't think that either gender that God created is really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and yet these people get by with getting on national TV and talking down to people. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about how rich everybody is. And, you know, I just don't understand why people buy into the lies of the Democrats.
Right.
I just really don't. I guess I have too much brain power.
Well, it used to be all the Republicans. They said the Republicans had all the money.
Yeah.
Now it's the Democrats. They have all the money. And then they're saying, we're for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're for you.
Yeah. Well, that's easy to say from a $12 million home in
it is.
Yeah. You know. Here's one. Governor Cuomo ripped the Democrats for lying to their voters while wealthy donors are sitting in a $1 million suite above them at the DNC. Do you know that the suites that are around that DNC arena... they actually started out selling those at $500,000.
Good grief.
And some of them went over $1 million.
Well, that's how she raised all that money.
Oh, you think so? You think so? Do you think there's a group of teachers that are sitting up there watching people? I kind of doubt it. You know?
No, no. You know, they said she raised all that money. That's how they raised it.
Yeah. They say that she's raised all that money in the last couple of weeks. And it says, according to this one report, this one reporter that I'm listening to, he's a conservative guy on X and different things. He said, the most dangerous money in politics is now legal money. The idea that they can fight against it is almost laughable. So look and listen when you are told these things, because I don't care what they promise you.
Mm-hmm.
How many generations have we heard? Now, folks, you heard that I turned 65 back in August. I've heard all my life, oh, we're for the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for us because we want to help you. And yet some of you are sitting there and you've never been helped. When was the last time that a politician helped you? Wasn't it Ronald Reagan that said something like, when government says I'm here to help, you better turn and run? Something
yes.
like that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, thank God for a great president. Well, we're talking about the insanity of America. Now, here's a good one. Oprah.
Oh,
did you hear any of her speech?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, I got to tell you, Randy. Now, and I got to say, you know, my sister's been gone, Cheryl. She's been gone for, I don't know, several years now. And she was a big Oprah Winfrey fan. She would watch that and just get goosebumps.
Yeah.
And just,
oh,
she'd watch her show and she'd say, oh, Larry, she gave a car to everybody. Gave a car for free to everybody. I said, Cheryl, she didn't give that car away. One of her sponsors did.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm pretty sure that's her money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, she. Well, anyway, let me go on from there.
What?
Oprah Winfrey, billionaire Oprah Winfrey,
right.
spoke to the Democratic National Convention on Wednesday evening and told the crowd that there is no American dream without abortion.
Oh, my.
Now, can you imagine the insanity?
That's scary.
Now, the Democrats' platform indicates that they support abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy without any restrictions.
Hmm.
Now we're hearing in parts of the country that you can actually kill the child after birth.
I heard that.
And call it an abortion.
Right.
Now, folks, by any stretch of the imagination, I got to tell you, I call that murder. I call it murder inside the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But my gosh, I got to think, you know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not trying to turn this into a Sunday school classroom,
right.
but... He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Were they that much worse than America right now?
Well,
we're kind of getting
there. I think
there
was nobody there that was any good. That's why he did it.
So as long as we keep on the air with our podcast,
yes,
he'll keep America going?
I think so.
Wow, we've got a big burden to carry. It says, Winfrey, gesturing towards her body, said, "If you can't control when and how you choose to bring your children into this world and how they are raised and supported, there is no American dream." Now, Randy, I got to tell you, I went to a national sales meeting in Dallas, Texas, and I said in front of, I don't know, there were 20 or 30 of us sales reps in a company that I used to own. And we were sitting there, and the national sales manager of this one company was talking, and he was all for abortion. Mm-hmm. And I said, before long, we're going to get into selective breeding because, oh, you're pregnant? Oh, and it's a girl? Well, abort this one because I want to try again and get a boy.
Right.
Dear God, they jumped down my throat. They said how stupid I was, how crazy. Mm-hmm. You've lost your mind. Mm-hmm. Have we not heard that in the last few years?
I think so.
Yeah, we have. So old Larry, he's crazy, but he ain't that crazy, is he? No. Now, Winfrey went on, well, thank you very much. You said no, whether you meant to or not. Do not go back and take that out. Winfrey went on to praise abortion. Oh, get this. She went on to appraise abortion advocates as the new freedom fighters. Wow, that's just sad. I mean, she said the men and women who are battling to keep us from going back to a time of depression and shame and stone cold fear, they are the new freedom fighters, she said, and make no mistake, they are the best of America.
My goodness.
Do you realize that a Planned Parenthood bus was parked just blocks away offering free abortions and vasectomies?
I saw that.
Now, that was for Monday and Tuesday. According to the reports, that mobile abortion clinic reportedly provided 8 abortions and 9 vasectomies over the first 2 days of the DNC. Mm. Now, folks, if you want to call yourself a Democrat and be proud, you own that, okay? There was 8 small, innocent babies that were killed, mm-hmm. murdered, that I think now is in heaven. And God is taking care of them. But I think whoever did it and whoever had it, they will one day stand before that same God.
But they were showing it. I mean, they're showing, I saw it on TV. Wow. I saw the van there and yeah. or the bus and yeah. all that.
Wow. So, you know, and then, and I'll finish this little report here. She said that freedom, which she argued is an important right to Democrats, while Republicans want to restrict Americans' freedom. And she claimed, giving one example, she cited the so-called book bans, referring to Republicans working to remove sexually explicit books from the classroom of young children. Hmm. Wow, I am so sorry that we're trying to take offensive sexual books out of our libraries and out of our classrooms that it is so offending you. And you know what, Randy? And here's a thought. This is the same woman that rescued children from Africa and brought them to America. Mm-hmm. Where are those children?
Right.
Now, here's something that I've asked a lot in private. Let me just put it out there. Boy, you just started sweating. Epstein's Island.
Mm-hmm.
All the children that were sex slaves. He got caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're told.
Right.
Bunch of children on there that was being raped and molested. Two of the top visitors was Oprah and Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bill Clinton was number one. Okay. Where's the children that she brought over from Africa? And my biggest question is, where are the children from Epstein's Island?
Hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah. Because you don't hear anything about that.
Well, now, really, anybody, if you've got a half a brain, not even a half, a tenth of a brain, if you can fog up a mirror, you can probably buy into this idea that if Epstein had all of those sex slaves on that island, don't you think that the newscast and the government would have cameras over there showing all of these poor little children being paraded out and rescued?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is where are they? They just moved them to another island, to right. another location, and that sex ring continued on. Hmm. Well, that's all I've got in this segment to talk about the insanity. What do you got, Randy?
Well, you know, I just got back off vacation, and we went up to Maine. Beautiful area.
Awesome.
There. And we actually drove. And when we got there, we flew into Portland, and we rented a car, stayed at a place up there near Portland, drove 1,300 miles all around that area.
Oh, wow.
Vermont, actually went up into Canada a little bit.
Yeah.
And went around. And when we was in Portland, we went into a cigar shop. We wanted a few cigars, and I've smoked like 10 cigars in my life, and so I got some catching up to do. So, but anyways, we wanted a cigar and a flavored cigar, and so we went in there, and we started talking to the owner, and he was actually worked in the Secret Service for Reagan.
Really?
When in the Reagan time.
Oh, cool.
His name was Jacques, and so he's from that area, and he owns the little cigar shop. So we asked him, we said, we wanted the special, they're called Acid Cigars.
Okay.
That's just the name of the company. But they're flavored cigars. And he said, it's illegal to sell flavored cigars here in Maine.
Really?
But you can sell marijuana.
Okay.
Now, so we started talking to him, and I got a little segment here I want to play because what he says next is just unbelievable.
Is this the video you
texted
me? Yeah,
this is the video.
Oh, cool.
Video, and
cool.
We're going to show it here, and the people will be able to see it, but listen to this.
The taxes on these cigars are 42.5%. The taxes on marijuana in the state of Maine are 15%.
Say rant.
Wow. 42% on cigars.
Can you believe
marijuana
that?
Marijuana is 15%.
15%.
Wow.
And, you know, that he said, man, that doesn't make any sense. And I have to do this. This is what I think I can make money selling cigars.
Wow.
So but 15% on marijuana.
Wow. I mean, that's insanity. And, you know, you and I both follow a podcast called Cigar Dave.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. he you talk about Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, he's kind of Rush Limbaugh incarnated. Okay,
oh, yeah.
And but he all the time is smoking a cigar on his podcast everything. That's his thing. He's Cigar Dave, and he talks about how the cigar industry is under attack by the government.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because they're not paying these politicians.
Right.
If they'll, why do you think Martha Stewart went to jail? She made somebody upset.
Yes,
she didn't front the money that she was supposed to, and that's when they nailed her and sent her to jail.
Mm-hmm.
She went to jail. Nancy Pelosi for doing the same thing never did.
Yeah. Huh.
So, well, I'm happy that you ran into that guy.
Yeah. No, he was the guy. He's going to be watching for this. So
okay.
Maybe he'll see it in a few weeks.
All right. So, be sure to like our channel.
All right. Let's go to a break real quick.
Okay.
We'll be back.
All right.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
Okay, folks, we're back. And be sure and do us a favor. Remember to like, subscribe, and share. Let's get the word out on this podcast. And there's one other thing. Let me give you this assignment. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to do our show. Remember, I'm soliciting an email from all of our viewers that is the top five things that if you were Donald Trump and you were elected as president, what's the first five things? Give us five bullet points that you would do, I mean, starting the moment that you took office, okay? I've got my five. Randy, have you made up your five?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No,
oh, man.
I'll get them.
Okay. I hope mine don't get too cold and I got to rewrite them because I got five, I think, really good ones. So, hey, let's get into this last segment, and we're not going to belabor these issues, but I just thought that it was something worth talking about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Harley Davidson. I don't know how many of you ride a Harley Davidson, but Harley Davidson slams the brakes on woke policies after sparking a biker and social media outrage.
Mm.
Harley-Davidson rescinded their woke messages and you know, they were doing this LGBTQ boot camps and pushing their employees in training and inclusion and all of this woke crap that all the communists are shoving down our throats. And, you know, somebody said, well, they saw the light, Larry, and they changed. Randy, they didn't see the light. Mm. They saw the green. Mm. Okay. Because when Robbie Starbuck, who is a conservative blogger, put it out there and said, hey, this is what they're doing, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, our sales are starting to plummet. People are really complaining. I mean, my gosh, this is Harley Davidson. Okay. Right. Why on God's green earth would you do something so stupid?
It's kind of like Budweiser. Didn't they get in the same boat?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they learned.
America's beer.
You know, you don't want it shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. I don't care who you're sleeping with, and I don't care what you're sleeping with. It doesn't matter to me.
No, okay? But don't force it on us or me.
That's right. Don't force it on me, and don't bring it around me, okay? You do what you want to do, and I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, here in this article it says, it's all about the almighty dollar. And here's what I would tell you, Randy, is I think America has to realize that voting with your money is essential.
Follow the money.
Follow the money.
It always goes back to the money.
And I got to tell you, who is the biggest competitor to Harley-Davidson? Indian Motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kawasaki and all those guys.
Yeah, they're further on down the line. But we're talking about American, you know, muscle bikes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that would hop off of those Harleys and say, if you're going to want to go broke or woke, you're also going to go broke.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't see the light. They saw the green is what they really did. Now, here's another one. And this just amazes me, Randy. Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Jack Daniels whiskey renounces the woke agenda. This is the latest icon of U.S. brands that's trying to bring some sanity back to business. And again, according to this Fox News report, this Robbie Starbuck is kind of claiming that he's the one that is, you know, he's the blogger that's the conservative blogger that's shining the light on all of these companies that's going woke. And, you know, kind of in essence, it's making them go broke. Mm. It says Harley-Davidson board of directors is silent on the future of their woke CEO and chairman. Well, now you've got Jack Daniels that's been doing the same thing, that's doing a diversity, equity, inclusion, left-leaning initiatives. All of this woke, liberal, commie crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forget all about it, folks. I mean, here's one that says, we're talking company drag shows and promoting every single possible conceivable sexual identity. Things that totally do not align with their customer base.
Right. Well, they threw all that stuff down at the Olympics. That's why I turned it off.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I would never listen to or never watch the Olympics. They have no... there's nothing there that really appeals to me at all. But after I saw what they did, and I don't know about you, Randy, but dear gosh, you know, I'm not on personal Facebook, and we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. Neither are you.
No.
But
kick me off.
My wife loves personal Facebook.
Oh, yeah, Donna does too.
Oh, yeah. They keep me informed. She's like, look at this. Here's a lady that goes to church. Oh, they weren't trying to do the Lord's Supper. They weren't making fun of that.
Yeah, right.
They were trying to do some medieval blah, blah, whatever. Folks, I got to tell you, that's why I left. Because like I told you, people that I went to church with, people that I thought I was friends with, they're too stupid. I don't want that nonsense. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Get over yourself. Okay.
Keep going.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
So they're trying to bring back that. Now, our last issue, and I find this. Remember, I believe it was probably on the first show, Randy, I said, liberals only believe in free speech as long as you're agreeing with
them. Right.
Remember I said that? Okay. Well, this just in, NFL quarterback Patrick Mahomes' wife releases a statement after liking one of Trump's posts. Brittany Mahomes is under fire by leftists for liking Trump's platform. Brittany appears to now be defending her support for Trump, blasting the haters for not healing from their issues they had from childhood. She said, to be a hater as an adult, you have to have some deep-rooted issues you refuse to heal from childhood. There's no reason your brain is fully developed and you hate to see others doing well. So if you're a conservative, remember that first show that we did, America's Conservative Voice Has Been Silenced. Here is a perfect example.
Right.
Now, I got to tell you, I quit watching the NFL years ago. I have nothing to do with them. I divorced them. You know, when all that kneeling down came about and all of that junk started happening, I said, nope, not for me. One lady looked at me and she said, but Mr. Larry, you love your Kansas City Chiefs. I said, yeah, but I love my country more.
Right.
You're not going to kneel during my national anthem and get by with it. Mm-hmm. The last thing that I watched in the NFL was when the Kansas City Chiefs locked arm in arm, walked out to midfield and knelt down.
Yep.
I got to tell you, it was the most repulsive thing. I'll never forget, because Carol was driving to Texas to see our kids. And she called me up. She goes, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm no longer a Chiefs fan. I've got probably $10,000, $15,000 worth of Chief memorabilia and storage. Mm-hmm. I've actually shot pictures of it. If anybody's interested, send me an email, because I'll sell it for pennies on the dollar. I'll get rid of it, folks, okay? It's nothing to me. Well, anyway, enough of that. But I just wanted to let you know that, once again, that conservative voice is trying to be silenced. On the way out the door, let's talk about next episode. We're going to have our first guest.
Cool.
Dr. J. Dr. J's coming, and we're going to have one heck of a good conversation. You do not want to miss next show. Come back and see us.
Call it a night.
The party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.